Hello, this is Jay Flannery the Beeve. I am here to do weekly wrap for Wednesday, March 6, 2019. Today we're going to focus on four big news events in the last week or so. The demise of the LA Lakers, led by LeBron James. Bryce Harper signing with the Philadelphia Phillies. General thoughts on the NFL Combine, who did well, who hurt themselves, and the big Michigan State showdown for the Big Ten Basketball Championship Saturday night, in East Lansing. I'll start with the Lakers. Couple things here, and I think this is one of LeBron's biggest problems. He's had problems throughout his career with authority and working with coaches, general managers. Now, in Cleveland, he had a couple good coaches there, but the owner's a doofus and didn't do a good job there. But in Miami, he had a really good head coaching team and general manager team in Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. And if you don't believe that, look at, they're still a pretty good team. Notice how Cleveland has completely fallen off the map every time LeBron's left. So I think LeBron, whether it's through his agent, Rich Paul, and Clutch Sports, he gets too involved in what's around him instead of being a basketball player and a better leader. And he's a great talent. But we started to see that players don't want to play with him. Kyrie Irving left. Paul George decided to stay with Russell Westbrook, who people will tell you is not a fun guy to play with. He's a ball hog. Kevin Durant left. James Harden left. So I think it's really interesting to think about it that way. But I think the Lakers, they have some good young players. And Alonzo Ball being hurt as long as he has really... being hurt for so long has hurt them, because I think LeBron is better when he's not the primary ball handler. He can play in different spots and attack from different positions. So I think that's hurt them, but the veterans, the Rondos, the Wilson Chandlers, the Lance Stevensons, and the Anthony Davis thing just really hurt this team, and I just don't think they're a very good team. LeBron needs shooters and versatile front court guys. He doesn't want to play with Shaquille O'Neal, a pounded down low and clogged a lane guy, because his biggest strength is driving and creating off of that. So I think that's their biggest problem with the Lakers, is that just not a good roster. LeBron hasn't been the best employee, with the stories from his camp coming out all the time. And honestly, I don't think the Lakers are a very talented team. And the team was playing well up until LeBron got hurt. And then Lonzo got hurt. Kuzma's been hurt. They've had a lot of things go wrong. Ingram missed games. So, offseason is going to be a big deal for them. And I would suggest they don't necessarily go after Anthony Davis. They go after somebody like Bradley Beal and more shooter guys, and hope that Kuzma and Lonzo and Ingram improve, and more, you know, mid-level guys who fit well with LeBron instead of names. But wow, what a mess. If you had told me that LeBron would even make the playoffs, just a really Palenka and Magic didn't do a very good job, and Luke Walton I think is obviously going to be fired, but it's hard to evaluate how good the coach is anyways, because of the Golden State situation. But wow. Bryce Harper to the Phillies. With this move, the Phillies, without really losing anything major off their team, have gotten strategically and specifically better at four spots on their team. Both corner outfielders, shortstop, and closer, late inning reliever, whatever they do with Dave Robertson, who they added. But they added Andrew McCutchen, Bryce Harper, and Gene Segura, which made them better defensively. This was an awful defensive team. Gene Segura is a huge acquisition for the Phillies, because the shortstop position was an albatross for this team. Harper, the money, whatever, it's the owners paying the money. Whether he'll be a great player in 13 years is another story, but I think this is part of what the Mets did with their moves with Robinson Cano and so many of the other veteran guys. I think the National League teams believe there's going to be a DH real soon. So I think that's a big part of it, what they did here. Obviously, I think that would preserve Bryce Harper, Robinson Cano, some veteran guys with the DH. But this division, outside of Miami, who's going to be horrific, it might win 50 games if they're lucky. The Atlanta Braves, Washington Nationals, Phillies, and Mets can all make the playoffs. And the other thing this does, specifically for the Phillies, is it allows a guy like Rhys Hoskins, the first baseman outfielder, to relax and not have to be the man. Very similar to what the Cardinals did, bringing in Paul Goldschmidt. When you bring in an elite bat at a position, it allows other guys. It's like when you add an ace to a team that doesn't really have an ace, and it allows the other guys to be second, third, fourth, fifth starters. So I think the Bryce Harper acquisition is going to be really good for them. And in that ballpark, he's going to hit an insane amount of home runs. I mean, the Mets have had games. I mean, if David Wright played in that ballpark, I mean, he was hitting bombs. The Mets had that game a couple of years ago in 2015, I believe, where they hit 7 or 8 home runs. And it was David Wright's first game back, and the first at-bat he had to hit home run. Just an incredible move for the Nationals. I mean, not the Nationals, excuse me, the Phillies. The division is going to be outstanding, but Harper is going to really blend in well there. And he's campaigning for Mike Trout, which is another interesting thing to go there. NFL Combine. As I wrote in my column, I think when you're a big-name star-level player, like, you know, Joey Bosa, Kyler Murray, the Metcalf kid, all these, the guys are, hey, this guy's going to be the number one player at his position. If you go to the draft and you act like an idiot, or you're not prepared physically, or you're not trained, I give Bosa a lot of credit, because he's coming off the abdominal core injury, and he came out and worked. Murray showed up and did some interviews and so forth. And, you know, a lot of these other kids, Devin Bush and Chase Winovich from Michigan, I thought did really, really well. Rashard Gary is always, I think, going to test well. One of his tests wasn't that good, the cone drill. But, you know, he was the number one recruit in the country coming out of high school. The Clemson kid who hurt his leg running. I think the guys that you have 2 months to prepare for this, and if you're not physically prepared and you look like you're not prepared and you haven't trained or you've had massive weight fluctuation, the main man scouting guy from the senior bowl director Jim Nagy, he used to work for the Patriots and Michigan football, talk about how weight fluctuations in today's football with the nutrition and the NCAA, you know, allowing you to have unlimited food budgets is inexcusable, and guys that have massive wage fluctuations is a black flag. So, but, you know, you're going to see a lot of crazy stories coming out of the Senior Bowl, the Combine with the, we saw the Charlie Casserly comments about Kyler Murray, and a lot of this is people positioning themselves. Go back to Warren Sapp and Dan Marino and, you know, Willis McGahee, and, you know, all the stories here about this guy's this, this guy's that. Dan Marino was a drugs guy. Warren Sapp was a drugs guy. You know, how, and it, people look and manipulate the boards. And you have teams like the Raiders who have a lot of draft picks. They have 3 first-round picks. They can manipulate, and John Gruden can do whatever he wants. The Patriots, of all teams, have 12 picks in a draft. They can do whatever they want. They have the most picks in the draft. And you're seeing some teams preparing to go for Tua next year, the Giants, the Dolphins, because I believe within the next week or so, both Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown are going to get traded. And rarely have I said this about a player. I'm a player's guy, but Antonio Brown has actually made the Steelers and Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger are very complicit in what's happened with this guy. Look like good guys in this, because Antonio Brown, just, and the LeBron James thing with the video he did was wow. I mean, would you, who in their right mind want to play with that guy after the way he acted and behaved? And I want to play by my rules and all that stuff. Antonio, you have a contract. I give Le'Veon Bell credit. He stood up for himself and sat out. And he wasn't going to put up for a team. He wasn't investing in him long term. Believe it or not, say what you want about Le'Veon Bell, I think how he handled his situation a lot better than Antonio Brown. And I understand Tomlin and Roethlisberger did a bad job, but some of the stuff that's coming out of his mouth, it led me to believe that he was trying to get released by the Steelers and control his own destiny. A lot of Terrell Owens at the end of his time in Philadelphia, and this, and it's amazing that he's got the same agent, Drew Rosenhaus, who, by the way, represents a lot of good clients, in Rob Gronkowski, Frank Gore, lots of really big-name star guys. I think he's got the most players in the league, and he's had good relationships with a lot of teams. I've been at Patriots practices and things, seen him there, and he's a good guy. So, wow, he's dealing with this nutcase and this situation. But I think both Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown will be I think Antonio Brown's going to get traded. The Steelers are saying by Friday they'll have a deal done. So that's going to be interesting. He's going to NFC team, maybe the 49ers. And I think the Odell Beckham Jr. or the Browns thing is going to happen because there's been too much noise about that. Finally, Michigan State basketball. Huge showdown game Saturday for the Big Ten Championship. My partner, Kathy, is a huge, huge Michigan basketball fan. I try to go every week to Coach Bearline's basketball show at Coach's basketball show at Pizza House. It's usually every Monday with Matt Shepard and Terry Mills. Kim Barnes-Rico, our women's basketball coach, I adore, and I think she's great and done a great job. I go with Coach Bayline. What you see is what you get with him. He's a great, great man. Good guy. Same guy I've been dealing with for 10 years. His family's great. He's just great with fans. He's a good, good dude. And, you know, the Michigan State rivalry thing with me, I just don't like Tom Izzo. I think he's a phony, and I think he's a bully. And he's got a lot of the negative Bobby Knight traits at the end of his career at Indiana. Just a bully. And nothing would make my weekend in the year, outside of what the Patriots did, then winning this game against the Sparties. I think Michigan's got a better team. They unfortunately did not have a good game when Michigan State came here, and, you know, it is what it is. I have a hard time believing that Coach Bayline will not have the guys ready to go Saturday night, and I think Michigan's going to win, and I hope they do. It'd be a very good thing for this group of kids and this team. And with, you know, Charles Matthews and everything being injured, I think he's going to be out. But I still think Michigan's going to somehow win this game. I have a hard time believing the Sparties can beat Michigan twice this year. This team has been really, really good. And it's incredible when you look at Michigan lost in a row to Penn State. Michigan State got swept by Indiana. It's just an average to poor Indiana team. A very strange year. But pulling for Michigan big time, Coach Bayline and, you know, his program, great, great people. Coach Yaklich, the defensive coordinator, good friend of mine, good dude. Hope they win. Hope they pull it out. I think they will. Hope you enjoyed this. We'll talk soon. As always, let's go.